I encourage you to open to the book of Romans. Yesterday I had someone say, so are we going to chapter 9? I said, no, we're still in chapter 8. Father in heaven, we just ask right now that you would open our hearts, open our minds, that we would be more receptive to your Spirit. For Lord, without your Spirit, the truth is blurred. Without your hand, without your word, we are lost. So as we look into your holy written word, we ask that it not just be ink on paper, but the hand of God on our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 1201. We'll be starting at verse 12. And last week, we focused on the idea of being a child of God, that being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Savior, that the righteousness of God, that right relationship with God, takes place and something wonderful happens. We are adopted and we are children. This morning, we're going to look at it a little more deeply. Verse 12, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you are put to death, the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. Jump over to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to do, what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And if we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is God's word. Now, a child. There's one thing about being a child and another thing being about an heir. A child, child has nothing to do with adoption to start with. We're just going to say a natural born child. Well, a child is a child. Can't change who your parents are. You're stuck. You've heard my joke before. I'm stuck with my four boys, but I got to choose my daughter. She's adopted, and we are blessed with the boys. Well, the reality is, a child of God, whom we are because of the blood of Christ, doesn't necessarily mean our Father in heaven is proud of us. Doesn't necessarily mean that I am proud of my children all the time. Doesn't mean that my mom and dad were proud of me all the time. But Hannah has nothing she can do to change the fact that she's my child now. She's adopted. And my boys can do nothing to change the fact, although they would like to at times, that they are my children because they are my children. And I am a child of God. You, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, If you've acknowledged the truth that there is nothing that you can do to earn, you are a child of God. But my wife will once in a while remind my kids, if you continue acting the way you are, you're out of the will. You're not an heir anymore. You're out of here. I'll always love you, but you're not going to get a blessed red cent. And my boys kind of roll their eyes because they know mom's got the weak, loving heart. And you know how moms can be. She's giggling at me because she knows it's true. God doesn't even threaten us that way. Grace upon grace. I want you to hear that phrase for just a moment. Grace upon grace. If you are a child of God, you are an heir. You are an heir of the kingdom, a co-heir, a fellow heir with Jesus Christ, not because you were good enough. It has nothing to do with whether or not we are good enough. Now, whether or not my children receive an inheritance might depend if they were good enough. Because I am a sinful, fallen man. My wife's perfect. I'm not. And I may not want to give something to one of my children because of the direction of their life, and they're going to squander it, and so I'd rather it go someplace else. I might have that kind of an attitude, but your Father in heaven does not. You are an heir of the kingdom. You're not simply a child. That would be enough. Think about that for a moment. That you are a child of the Almighty Creator God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. You are His child. That should be enough. But more than that, you are His heir. You will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You will be, and watch how I say this, but Scripture was the one who said it a few moments ago, so all I am doing is referring to Scripture. This is not me speaking. You will be glorified. Wait a minute, that's something for God. Yes, and His children. You will be lifted. You will be lifted and glorified. You will be in charge of the angels. I don't know all the things that are going to happen in heaven. I don't know all the things that God has in store for you and for me. I know that there will be no tears of sadness. I know there will be no suffering. I know there will be no cancer. But I don't know all of what heaven's going to be like. I do know this. You and I are going to be praising our Father in heaven. And in that process, somehow in a mysterious, wonderful way, as a co-heir with Jesus Christ, you and I will be lifted up, not as little gods. No, we are not Mormons. No, we are not Jehovah's Witnesses. No, we do not believe that we become little gods. That is heresy. That is wrong. There is one God and one mediator, and He is Christ Jesus the Lord. But the truth is, we are so loved by our Father that we are heirs of the kingdom and co-heirs, fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you hear what that means? God is like seeing you as His perfect child. God is putting you on par almost, and I don't mean this in a godly sense, divinity sense. I mean this in a relational sense and a loving sense. You are put on par with His own Son, Jesus Christ. No, you do not become divine. No, you do not become a god. Heresy. But the Creator of all the universe loves you so much that He loves you equally to His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. We all need to say the same thing. Jesus was God, and that's how He felt. Hopefully you and I can say, I do not consider equality with God's love for Jesus something that I should grasp. And yet it's a promise. It's a promise. Now, a little quick word about the end of that first portion that we read this morning. If this doesn't boot out the windows of the prosperity gospel, nothing does. And if children, then heirs, and heirs with God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. Part of the process of being a child and heir of God is living in this world that is sinful, fallen, totally. And we will suffer. We will suffer like Christ suffered. Just because someone accepts Jesus, just because someone is on their knees in prayer and has deep, intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, just because someone is a child of the sovereign God, does not mean there's going to be a bed of roses. In this sinful, fallen world is a lie. We will suffer with Christ like Christ. As an infant baby, he got hungry. When he wandered in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted, he was hungry. There was a physical ache in his body. He was suffering. When he was put on the cross, those nails, it was real. It wasn't that because he was so divine, he had some sort of, you know, miraculous, almost drug-induced coma and didn't feel anything. He felt every swing of that nail, swing of that hammer. He felt every swing of that whip. He suffered. He felt every emotional pain when his disciples did not believe in him, when his disciples misunderstood him, when his followers betrayed him. When Jesus was denied by Peter, he hurt. Do you and I hurt? Well, of course we do. We are on this side of eternity, and you will suffer with Christ. You will feel the pains of this world. There is nothing that's going to take that away in this side of eternity. Now, why do we pray for people then who have cancer? Why do we pray for people who are going through a rough time? God does step in moments. And I'll give an example like this. You got a little one. And they're running and they're playing. And Johnny, don't run now because, you know, you're going to fall and hurt yourself. And you let enough happen so hopefully they learn. If you make a child-proof world for their child, they never grow up. Some of us have met parents who have done that. And I've met their adult children, and I go, wow, that mom and dad loved them, but it was a disservice what they did to them. But when they're next to a busy road and that child's about to run in the road, the father grabs a hold and pulls them back. Because I'll let you fall and skin your knee, and I'll get the Band-Aid out, but I'm not about to have you go underneath the Mack truck. I will let a certain amount happen, but I am not going to let that go. Now, we as parents make mistakes, and our Father in heaven does not. And I do not understand his divine and infinite will, and neither do you. And if it was up to me, man, I would run through the hospitals and going, you are healed, you are healed, you are healed, you are healed. I don't know why God does what he does, but I know one thing for sure. The cross proves to me that he loves me beyond himself. He loves me beyond himself. He was willing to suffer far more than I will ever suffer. He was willing to lay down far more than he is ever asking me to lay down. I am not just his child who he loves dearly, and I can call him my Abba, my daddy. But grace upon grace, he has made me an heir, a co-heir, a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. If you haven't noticed, I struggle with time management. Sermons sometimes get long. There was a little giggle there. And the passages that we've picked today, I could keep us here for 3 hours and not, I see the roll of eyes. I promise I won't. However, I would be remiss if I did not go to that second part that we read today. And before I do need to tell you a story that happened 2 days ago in my store. A close friend came in, someone who does not go to our church. They have walked through the halls with me. I've showed off the beautiful gift that God has given us of this facility. And recently, in the last few months, he started going to church. Whether or not God has used me in a part of that, I don't know. All I know is for a couple of years, there's been lots of prayers and lots of kicks. And he's a single older gentleman, and he's now going to church, and he's having his coffee, he's pouring it, and I'm on the other side of the counter, and Jim, you know I've been going to church. I've been going now, I've been to 3 different churches, and I don't know, they all say the same thing, and I just don't know if I like it. He's African American. I love him. Well, what are they saying? I was getting nervous. Well, they keep saying that if I'm not just praying to Jesus, then I'm not really praying. I kind of like what you're saying. Why don't you like it? Well, I just can't believe that there's just one way. Ooh, all of a sudden, red flags are flying up inside my head, and my heart starts pounding. And Tony, what are you talking about? That's Christianity. Well, it can't be, though. Are you trying to tell me that the Hasidics that are down the street, that they're going to go to hell? Do you want me to answer that? You're asking a question. Do you really want me to answer that? Tony, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Tony, my real question for you is this. Is God's word or not? If it is, then you should be saying, man, these preachers are preaching what they should be. And if it's not, then I'm wondering what standard you're going to follow. What you feel like today and what you don't feel like tomorrow. I knew you were going to say that. And I was like, I'm glad you knew it. I hope you know it. What I'm about to read is not something that a lot of Christians like. And a lot of pastors would rather not read. A lot of churches would rather not think about. Because I'm going to warn you right now, it's going to make some people in this room feel very uncomfortable, and we're going to be a little bit angry with God. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. I know there are many passages that talk about believing and accepting in Jesus. But Scripture is clear that cannot happen unless God first works in your heart. We serve a sovereign God. The word sovereign meaning king, ruler, one who's in charge, one who makes things happen. And here's where I'm going to get myself a little bit in trouble. God just doesn't know from all eternity who's going to accept him. God works in their heart to make sure that happens. Well, what about free will? Scripture has this tenuous balance back and forth that fights with it. Because yes, we are responsible because of our sin. And yes, we are responsible to accept Jesus. We are responsible, but God is the one who initiates, starts, and makes it happen. It is not because I came to this conclusion. It is not because I did something or I studied or I prayed or I needs to be taken out of the equation. and God alone needs to sit upon the throne. Now, I will also say this. God will not force you into the slavery of obedience, because that would not be love. If God made you his automatic puppet, then your relationship to him would be one devoid of love. You would simply be a mechanical device that God was pressing buttons on. Well, Jim, you're saying two opposite things. Kind of yes, but no. And what do I mean by that? There is this struggle that somehow, some way, God wants so desperately for us to have this real, intimate, personal, loving relationship that he allows us to turn our back on him. At the same time, he is the one who holds on to us. I struggle when I hear in churches today the manipulation that takes place emotionally. We have churches right now that are so, their worship service are not designed for God. They are designed for people. And that's wrong, my friends. That's not worship. If it is, it's worshiping me or my kids or you. Because who are you focused on? Well, what emotion does it bring out? Now, I'm not saying emotions are all wrong, but if worship is designed for us, we've got it backwards. In our relationship with God, our world, even a lot of Christians today, want to have it start with me. My feelings, my needs, my thoughts, it starts with God. It starts with the sovereign, mighty hand that chose a wretch like me to hold on to die for, to love. And it's a message that I know over the years has actually had people walk out of this fellowship that have said, you know what? If you really believe that God is the one who holds on to and initiates and starts and gets this whole thing going and really pulls me in and brings me to a place that I'm on my knees, if it's all about God, I don't know if I like that, because I want to accept Jesus. I want the right to accept or reject or to turn my back. I want to be in charge. My friends, that was the original sin in the Garden of Eden. The original sin was not eating an apple. It was wanting to be in the place of God. It was, didn't you know that if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be more like God? Adam and Eve wanted to sit on the throne. They wanted to be in charge. They wanted to be more God than they were to be. Not like God, but they wanted to be God. Satan, his fall from heaven. Why? Because he wanted to be on the throne. My friends, you and I are not on the throne. We worship the one who sits on the throne. And in doing that, we become his children, his heirs, his co-heirs with Jesus Christ, and we are glorified. We are lifted up. The righteousness of God demonstrated in the truth, in the fact that we are not just children, but heirs of the kingdom. If this morning your heart is being moved, it is not because of an eloquent speaker. It is not because of an emotional song. It is because God is knocking on the door of your heart. And I've got some news for you. He will not stop until you are brought to your knees. He loves you so much. My prayer is you make it easy on yourself. My prayer is that you say, Lord, thank you, and I want more of you. Because you could be a child kicking and screaming, you're still his child. or you could be a child in good, wonderful fellowship with your Abba in heaven. Do you know Jesus? If you don't, grab an elder when the service is done, because any one of us would love to go into a room, sit down, be a brother and sister in Christ, and pray with you, and be a brother and sister in Christ with you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are a good, good Father. And your grace is amazing. That with who I am, who we are, you still loved us, and you loved us first. Lord, there are some in this fellowship, in this family, that need to turn back to you. And there are some that need to be brought to their knees for the very first time. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness that you will not give up. And Lord, there are some of us in this room who have sons or daughters or husbands or wives or brothers or sisters or friends or family members who we pray for and do not walk with you yet. Father, it is our prayer that you will reach out and that you will call them according to your purposes and that you will draw them into a fellowship, a relationship with you. Before it even happens, we thank you because you are the faithful God who does not give up when we do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Our song of response is amazing.